Take your Bibles this morning and turn over to Philippians chapter 4. The book of Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at just 2.5 verses here today. Starting at verse 4, or 5 rather, the second half of the verse, and then verses 6 and 7 also. Philippians chapter 4, the latter half of verse 5 and verses 6 and 7. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our subject today is entitled The Peace of Believer's Prayer. You know, believers in Christ are those that are not free from worry or free of troubles. They worry about many things in this life too, even though God has told us that we should not do that. Nonetheless, we do. And we find that many times we're worried because we fail to realize that God has given to us an instruction for how to handle our problems. And that starts with prayer. It's the basic of everything. And without prayer, of course, nothing really happens in the kingdom of God that is honoring to Him. But through prayer, God is able to do amazing things. And God does that. He uses the avenue of prayer to bring these things about. Now, the word worry that we're talking about here today too, alongside of peace, is a word that means to strangle people. It comes from an Anglo-Saxon word that means to strangle people. Can you imagine how that would be like if you were strangled to death? Physically, emotionally, or spiritually, the Bible talks about this as a strangling. It also means the Bible term to be careful or to be anxious is literally the term to be torn apart. Don't be torn apart on the inside. Don't be torn apart emotionally or whatever. We are to rest confidently and to trust in the Lord. We have to break the cycle of worry and bring forth peace before we can even have peace. We need to break that cycle, as I said here, of worry. The passage today that we're going to look at, especially the verses 6 and 7, shows us how we can go about doing this. The first thing that I want to talk about today is the fact that we need to recognize God's presence in our life. You notice here there's just a tiny little sentence in verse 5 here. The Lord is at hand. In other words, that's saying the same thing. The Lord is present. But people don't know quite what to do with this as far as communicating it. Actually, I think it's quite simple. You take both of them. But here's the first idea that people have when it says the Lord is at hand. Some people say, well, that's talking about the return of Christ, that His coming is very, very soon, and that everything's going to be taken care of when He comes again. And there are some people who believe that. And I believe that can be part of the answer to this. However, that's not the only answer. I think that the second part is also very important too. When it says the Lord is at hand, it means that the Lord is now present among us. He's with us. It's not talking just about a nearness in time, but it's talking about nearness in space too, or in the place that we are living, that God is near us right there where we are. Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And that's an important thing to remember here. Even as we meet here today, no matter how many people we have here, if we come as believers in Christ with a heart that is dedicated to the Lord, we can be confident that He is among us. Well, the Bible says the Lord is at hand, and that is something that is foundational in which we pray. We can't really begin to pray confidently until we recognize that foundational statement. We find that throughout even the Old Testament, both of these things are taught in some of the Psalms, and various scriptures as well. Christ is always at his place by us, and he is going to certainly come again as he has promised. And even though it's been nearly 2,000 years now since the Lord has been here, we know that his coming is near. When we look at the time that was involved with his first coming, this is nothing too shocking if we think of 2,000 years. He was at least many thousands of years before he actually came after the initial announcement to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There were thousands of years that happened before that first coming occurred. But he's going to come because God is foundational to our whole life. Not only will he be here, but he is here now, even in our midst. Well, when you have that foundation, you know, it's just like in building. If you're going to build a house, you need a good foundation. You can't build something on a place that doesn't have a solid foundation. It won't last long. It won't hold up. But now, having put the foundation in place, talking about the presence of God in our life, he goes on and he tells us three things that we need to remember when we pray. Number one, we are to be anxious in nothing. You say, anxious in nothing? Everybody has moments of anxiety. Everybody has moments when they're not very courageous, or maybe they feel depressed. But the Bible says we are to be anxious in nothing. Now, that does not mean that we are to go out and just live a carefree life and act as though nothing matters. You know, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be. No, it's not one of those kind of lives at all. It's talking here about the fact that, just like Paul and Timothy, when they mentioned these things, they say that they needed to minister to people. They were to be concerned about people and to care about people. But they always retained their trust, not in people, but in God. It's God who makes our decisions for us. It's God who makes our choices. We believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. Nothing happens until God moves. God is the prime mover of everything. And that's what we need to remember too. We can avoid anxiety if we keep on remembering the fact that we should care about people and what happens to them, but we also need to remember that our ultimate trust is in our great supplier himself, the Lord God Almighty. Jesus warned us in the Gospels too against worry and anything that would eliminate our trust in the Lord. Secondly, we need to remember by way of God's peace, not only his presence and his peace here, but included in that peace is also not only being anxious in nothing, but being prayerful in everything. Pray without ceasing, the Bible's saying. It doesn't mean that you have to be praying every minute of the day or night, but it does mean that we need to continue in a regular pattern of prayer, asking God to show us his will and to lead us and guide us and direct us. And if we don't have that, we have nothing, because the Bible says very clearly that without me, you can do what? Nothing. That's very clear in the scriptures, and we know that. That's why we look to him only. Paul stresses that we can take everything to God in prayer. It is everything that we are to make, everything that we need to make a prayer to God for, he says to come with prayers and supplications, both. Prayers are just talking about a general conversation or asking or meeting with God and talking with him. It's a general attitude toward all of our life. But supplications are when we get to be very specific about certain things. Now, this morning we could have talked about being concerned about people who are hurting right now. And in a certain sense we did. But what did we do? We also talked about it in terms of a couple of specific situations where there were tragedies in some families and others were needing encouragement, and maybe these cards that we're going to send. And one of the ways we can do that is to carry on a ministry like that. Cost us nothing. It's something that's available to us, and we can just brighten somebody's life by going through and helping in this. But there's a difference, you see, difference between general prayers and specific supplications. When you start talking about supplications, we're talking about specific praying. If we're praying for all missionaries in the world, what are we doing? We're praying kind of a general prayer. We start praying for Patrick the pilot in Alaska. Now we're doing what? We're talking about a supplication. We're talking about praying for someone specifically. And there are many needs all over the country and all over the world that people have. Now, when somebody is a child, the child many times asks their parents for certain things or asks them certain questions. Sometimes we take things from children. For example, they come and they tell us that they're disappointed about something. Or maybe they come and they've hurt themselves in some way. Maybe they had a cut or a bruise. And there's something that they want to tell us about. And when they come to their parents, they never doubt that their parents are going to listen to them and hear them and care about them, because parents are, by their very nature, are supposed to care about their children. Well, I want to tell you something. God is the greatest heavenly parent that you could ever imagine. He's a perfect parent. He cares about all of our needs. We can bring everything to Him. It's a sweet hour of prayer. Oh, what pain we often bear because we do not carry everything, the songwriter said, to prayer. So we need to do that. The little triumphs that we have in life and the little disappointments too. I won't brag about anybody singing today. I'll tell you about another thing I was pretty happy about. Linda's over in California right now, but where do you think she was? She spent one day at having lunch at a restaurant there in Malibu Beach. And it was 70 degrees that day. Now, I think that's more important than even singing at the right place, you know. 70 degrees, man, that's just like getting sun out here this morning, you know. But we can come to God with everything. We can come not doubting. We can come believing. We can be ready just as we believe our parents are ready to hear us and to listen to us. We should exactly be the same in our attitude toward God. We can come to Him and share things with Him. I'm not trying to suggest today that everything you ask for or tell God about that you're going to receive. God does what is perfect for us. Sometimes He answers it the way that we ask. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes He gives us something that is an answer, but it's a different answer than we expected. There's all kinds of things. Why is this? Because God is all wise and God is all knowing. There's no one that knows our life and what we truly need like He does. And so we can come to God, first of all, not being anxious in nothing, but we can also be prayerful in everything. Now there is another thing too. The Bible says here that we are to be thankful for anything. Anything that happens in our life, we can be thankful. Why is that? Anything, even tragedies that can happen. You know, there's always something for which we can be thankful for. I think about that old story about the great Bible commentator, Matthew Henry. He was walking to a place one day where he had to go to preach at a certain church there. And while he was traveling down the road, a man stepped out of the woods there and robbed him. And when he got to the church, he was minus the money that the man had taken from him. And so the people said, we notice that you always pray about anything here. Well, I'd like to see you pray about that today. He said, oh, I definitely will. They said, well, what could you possibly pray about with that? Praying for anything? He said, oh, yes, absolutely, number one. He said, first of all, the man took all my money, but he did not take my life. Secondly, he said, the man who took all my money was someone else. He said, it wasn't me. I wasn't the thief who stole. I was stolen from. He said, I'm thankful for that, that God has enabled me to keep my life the way it should be going. And I thank God because in every situation, God knows exactly what's going to happen. These people were dumbfounded. They couldn't believe that anybody could pray confidently after having gone through an experience like that. But that's exactly what happened in his life. Well, be thankful for everything, or anything rather. As you notice here, this is something that is an important part of our praying. We had a sermon about two Sundays ago that, or maybe right around Thanksgiving time here on Luke 17, where we talked about giving thanks. We need to give thanks in all things. Why is this? Because of the fact that God doesn't change. You can thank God for all the things that He does for us because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, because God doesn't change, even though things change for us, that doesn't mean that God stops loving us or stops caring for us or protecting us or watching over us or working all things together for good. He does this because of the simple fact that He is someone who appreciates when we come to Him in thanksgiving. It's a grateful way to remember the past blessings that we have received, and it's a safeguard against anxiety even about the future and what it might hold for us. It adds confidence when we can come to the Lord and pray a prayer that also includes thanksgiving. And Paul goes on now, and he tells us after he describes what the peace can be that comes into our life, no anxiety, praying about everything, praying about anything thankfully, gratefully, that ought to be characterizing all of our prayers. Then he tells us, not Paul himself, but the Bible tells us about two other important places here that we need to mention about this important thing. And the first is in the Old Testament. You know, God gives us great truth in the Old Testament too. And we're going to see if we can just find the right location here. I believe that it is Isaiah chapter 26. And there in the 9th verse, it says, "My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." That's a very important thing. All the things that God is doing are what? Things that are right in God's sight, and we can earnestly seek for that rightness, for His judgments to be carried out, because He is the one who keeps us, who watches over us. Sometimes we can't understand it. Sometimes we look at it and we say, boy, this is a mysterious thing here. Why does God always, you know, allow bad things? I remember just recently I was cleaning my office, and I went through the office there and I found a piece of literature that was taken from a funeral service many, many, many years ago. Some of you remember when Paul Smith passed away. It was a very sad event for all of us. You know, he was just up the road from our house there, and all of that happened. And one of the questions that was asked by one of the family members was this, was, why does God always take the good ones? That's a question, isn't it? That's something that gives, it's mysterious to us. Why? How can we be thankful in a time like that? But you look at how God has blessed that family in the years that have come, you know. They've been not only successful in the business world, but every one of the family there seems to have come to Jesus Christ and professed Him and believed on His name, and they have abundant reasons for thanksgiving. I'll tell you, in a certain sense, though, funerals are always hard to do. I think when we had to preach recently about my Aunt Eileen's own funeral that died many, many years later after her husband Paul, I mean, it was rather easy because there were so many blessings that had come to that family over the years that we could hardly imagine it. And the family felt it too. It was just that kind of a day. Well, God is not only our keeper, but also Colossians 3 is another important scripture here. Colossians chapter 3 tells us some important things here that we need to remember too. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." When the peace of Christ rules in your heart, what's going to happen? you're going to be thankful. It's a hard thing to do. You say, well, I can't always feel thankful all the time. I didn't say that. Nobody is perfect. We don't teach sinless perfectionism here. People say, well, you know, I think I don't sin anymore because I don't commit any willful sin. Well, and you say, what do you mean by that? Well, I always try to love God no matter what happens, and so I'm not sinning. Listen, if you think that there's sin in your life and yet you say you always love God, there's something wrong there, because the Bible says that love is the fulfilling of the law. How can you love God above all if you're not loving the fact that he has given us all of his laws and commandments and his ways for us to follow? And so when it says here that God will rule by his word in all of our hearts and minds, it's the same word that I've probably used this illustration before, but you know, you look at baseball games or football games and you see referees or umpires out there. What happens? If they have any question about a play that's been made, they ask the umpire to check it out. And if he will not do it or can't do it accurately, what do? They send far away to a distant part of the country and ask somebody with the television cameras and so forth to try to determine it. They let the umpire rule the play. And that's what God does. He's our heavenly umpire. He always calls it right. He never makes a mistake about an action or an activity. He always rules in every situation. Some people say, you know, you can have Jesus Christ as your Savior, but that doesn't mean you have to be following him as Lord. That's nonsense. If you don't follow Jesus Christ as Lord, there's something wrong here. God didn't just save us so that we can all go to heaven and live any way that we want to. He saved us so that we might be, first of all, saved and given a place in heaven. But more than that, we can become more and more like him and more like Jesus. He wants to rule over our life so that we become more like him. Some will make great progress. Some will make small progress. But it's going to happen. Anybody who is a believer is going to be living under the lordship of Jesus Christ to some degree. It's going to happen, and it's going to increase as time goes on. So we think about this old gospel music again. What a wonderful song. You know, the old verse to one song says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. My friends, how can there be a change in people's heart or in their life if Jesus has not been their Savior, first of all? Jesus, the Savior, has to come into their heart, but when he comes in, he begins to work on us, bringing us more and more like Jesus Christ. The Bible says, too, that as we have trusted in Christ, so walk in him. That's what we're supposed to do. If we trust in him, if we have faith in him, if we profess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to walk in him, too, to the best of our, not only our ability, but more than that, to the best that we can follow the Holy Spirit of God and let him lead us and guide us into that kind of life that God has called us to live. You know, we're living in a world where people are letting everything else rule their life to bring them peace. Some people have neurosis. Some people have nervous breakdowns. Some people have tranquilizers. Some people have all kinds of mental distress. But whatever it is, those things cannot fully give people peace in the end. There's only one thing that can give you peace, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one who is coming again as the Prince of Peace too. And he not only will rule someday, but he is going to rule in your life even now if you are a Christian. I want to close today our message by just reminding you of this very important word. You know, I'm a person that likes to read Warren Wiersbe, and I found one of his quotes again that just, you know, hits it right on the head. He says, when the child of God is in the will of God, all the universe works for him. But when the child of God is out of the will of God, everything seems to work against him. That's true. I know that Christians at times have thought like, well, something's working against me now. Even the writer of Psalm 73 felt like that. You know, he said, when I looked at some people, I wondered, why in the world are these things going on? But then he said, I considered where it was all headed, and I considered what was their latter end and what direction they were really going. And he says, I thank God because of the fact that I have a new life, a changed life, a different attitude, a thankful one, one that recognizes that I have a commander, a garrison. You know, a garrison is a fort. Something that will protect people. I was watching about the northwest part of our country, and I saw on this video that was giving a travelogue about these different places there. And they showed one of the old garrisons that had provided guarding for our troops and for people that were traveling on the famous Santa Fe trail. They had to get to the Santa Fe Trail there and take them down through New Mexico and all of that. And they were able to do it because there was a garrison there that helped. Well, God is our garrison. That's literally what the word means when it says here that he's going to rule. He's going to garrison our life. He's going to umpire our life. He's in control of it all the way. And he says, because of that, whatever we do, we can do what? We can give thanks to God through him. The only thing that makes it possible for people to have that kind of a thankful life is Jesus Christ himself reigning inside your heart. So are you a child of God who's seeking to live by the will of God? Well, if you want to have peace, if you want to have God take you into the blessings that he has in store for you, then you need to realize that when the child of God comes to him, and like he says here, and is trusting in him as the one who gives the will of God. When that happens, the child of God is also finding that all the things somehow miraculously come together. They don't always look like it in the moment, but as time goes on, pretty soon. One commentator one time, not Wiersbe, but some other person, has said, you know, the longer I live, the more I've learned how to thank God for even unanswered prayers. Some of the things I've prayed for that if I had actually received them, and when I didn't receive them, I was upset with God. But when I didn't receive them, now as time has gone on, I saw that that was the right decision after all. I'm thankful that I never received those things that I sought for or that I sought to pray for. So remember, let's be like children of God, living in peace. Let's have the peace that characterizes the believer's life of prayer. Let's pray to God now. Lord, none of this is easy. I know this. Lord, we're not trying to make it hard for anyone either today. We're just simply trying to show that you have promised us some wonderful things if we just take you at your word. Lord, you have even told us in the last scripture here we looked at that the word of Christ is to rule in our hearts. What a blessing that will be. No wonder we can have peace. All because you are in control. Lord, help us in that area of our life to be more and more not only those who are living in peace, but who are peacemakers with others as well. And we pray this now, asking it in Jesus' name. Amen.